time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone, like we always do, with some live music. This is The Soul Gent. This is from Arlington Jones's latest CD. His CD is also called The Soul Gent. Sit back and enjoy.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Our show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out all of the great information about Love Ministries from their website. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org. And I hope you enjoyed The Soul Gent. And that is a great segue into our interview because we are welcoming Arlington Jones to our conversation today. Welcome, Arlington.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. I want to give you all just kind of a background on Arlington, and then we'll jump right into kind of hearing from him. Arlington is a composer. He's a jazz artist. He's a teacher. He and his wife also have a nonprofit organization. His wife is Hope Jones, and Hope is a friend of the show. He's been on the show before. Arlington is also my big brother. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so Arlington Jones is a Steinway artist, and he has so many things that that the Lord has blessed him to do. He is very prolific. He's got, I don't know, how many CD projects are released now?
I believe six.
Okay, six. So it grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. You also have a clothing line out. He's smiling because that's
yeah,
the truth.
We're working on it. Yeah.
And
ties.
It's, yes, ties.
Well, we have T-shirts and some things.
Yes.
But we're working on, yeah, they're kind of a old to vintage, old school, so
yes.
They're short ties.
Yes.
Custom short ties.
Yeah. So, and that's probably not everything. So, and you also have some books out.
Yes, yes. Piano books. I have a jazz piano technique method mm-hmm. book, as well as some other piano solo publications. Piano
okay.
Publications.
Okay. Too. So he's got all of that going on. Also, for the Salmons.
Uh-huh. Salmon You're Center the, for the Arts. I'm the artistic director. The Salmon Center for the Arts of their jazz program.
Yes. Yes. So many things. Now, that's all that comes to my mind. I'm sure there's like so much more that you're probably thinking
cool.
that I've forgotten, but it'll all come out within our conversation. So we're so glad, Arlington, that you're here. And I know that you have a lot of things coming up. I like to let everybody know. Well, number one, I invited you here because you are my big brother. And so I want everybody to know all of my family and the things that everybody's doing. The Lord has really created us to be creative, and we're living in that calling. And I'm happy about that. So I want to pass that information on to everybody. But the things that you and Hope strive to do are things that are inspirational and are entertainment. And that is what Every Heart, Every Woman Radio is about. Mm-hmm. So the things that you all are doing, the things that you all have coming up, is we especially want to talk a lot about the pop-up concert series that you have coming up. Okay. I'm very excited about that. And you all always put a unique spin on everything that you do. So I want everybody to know and be able to know how to get tickets and know how to be there and to bring their kids and all of the great things, because everything you all do is all about family entertainment, and it is always very inspirational. But first, I want to take people back to the beginning of Arlington Jones. So okay. Since we grew up in the same house mm-hmm. and we have one other brother, Spencer Jones,
yeah.
and I don't think he's been on the show yet, but we'll get him on the show soon. And so we know the beginning, but let everybody know, just give everybody a peek into how you started. How did you get into playing the piano, into jazz? You know, give everybody the backstory.
Okay. Well, as you already know, I guess our dad's mother, our grandmother in South Jersey bought us, it was a surprise, I guess at least
right.
a surprise
yeah.
to us,
mm-hmm.
Bought us a piano. Believe I was eight when
okay.
that happened. And so, I mean, it was just this beautiful, shiny piano that I asked to take piano lessons. So our parents agreed, mm-hmm. allowed us to take piano lessons. And I guess I should say that early on I realized, like, man, this is going to require a lot of practice and everything. And so first I was like, I don't really like practicing. But by that point, you know, parents were like, you got to
keep
going.
You're doing it. Yes. You're in it.
You asked and you're in it. So now here we go. But I mean, soon after that, I just developed a love. And I think they could see that God had already deposited a talent for being able to play inside of me, and that it just needed to be cultivated.
Right.
So they did not allow me to quit. And but yeah, soon after I got into it really well and just really loved it. I don't know that you ever just totally love practicing.
Right.
But you understand that's part of the work that's, that's required. And so there are times that it's fun, but I mean, it can be a grind as well. But yeah, it wasn't until probably my junior year in high school that I decided switch from getting letters in college for pre-law and then Well, our brother, Spencer,
he's
the
lawyer.
Youngest. He is the lawyer in the family, so he kept that dream alive.
but you killed it.
In my life, I guess I did.
That's funny. So I didn't know that, I guess, what? I didn't know pre-law.
Yeah,
you were going to do pre-law?
I wanted to be the next Supreme Court justice.
Oh, I do remember that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
So, but yeah, went to the parents and told them that I really
I'm
love music.
Be a
I want to do that. So the only problem with that was that I was like, I don't want to do music education. I don't want to be a teacher. So they're like, well, what are you going to do? It's like, I don't know. I just want to play. So then, yeah, there were a lot of discussion with that. But that's kind of really how
yes,
it started.
Yeah. So I remember, I don't know if you know this. I'm assuming that you know this, but I remember your first music lesson. At Brooke Mays.
I don't remember that.
Okay, I remember. So your first music lesson at Brooke Mays. I can't remember if Spencer was with us, but it was myself and our mom, Myra Jones.
Yeah.
So we took you to the lesson, and we were sitting outside. Remember those chairs that they had out there that you could wait?
Yeah.
So we were sitting there, and midway through, I don't even know if it was midway, just a little bit into the lesson, the teacher came out and said, to our mother, I thought you said this was his first music lesson. Do you remember this?
I have no recollection.
Okay, I remember it. And she said, I thought you said this was his first music lesson, and which our mother said, it is. And she said, well, he can already play lesson one.
What?
Yeah. Like, he can already play through book one. And so she went and she put that book back. Because remember, at Brooke Mays, you would get the book and then you would play through it. Mm-hmm. Then if that was the right book for you, then you would pay for it.
Right.
And on the way out. After
yes,
the lesson.
I do remember
so
that.
So she took that book back and came with another book. And I think she did that twice. I'm going to guess that if you were eight, so I know I was, what, six?
Six, yeah.
Even though I'm 28, so that, don't say your age. So I'm willing to say she did that twice, and you started on lesson three book. Because you could already play lesson one and lesson two, all of the lessons in the whole book. And then it was like, so lesson three was about where you started. Yeah.
I'll have to ask mom to verify this.
Ask her. Because, and I think I've talked to her about that before, and she said, yes, I remember the teacher coming back out and saying, I thought you said this was his first lesson. So when you say, I say that backstory to say, when you say that, you know, our parents recognize that, you know, honestly, this is what God had given you to do, it really was like that. Like when you started, you were already, you know, I don't know, and not in lesson one, already in lesson three book. But it also is very important that you bring out that it also takes a lot of practice and dedication.
Yes, a whole lot.
A whole lot.
I mean, for example, people ask me all the time, especially when I taught college and everything, but even now still when I do master classes, people ask me about that. But I remember when I went to college, I went on a classical music scholarship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I practiced hour or two something a day and just played piano all the time. But when you go into college and they're like, now this is for real.
Right.
So then they're like, you know, you got to spend 4 hours minimum.
Right.
You may be 8 hours in the practice room. And
I'm
like, what?
Right.
But then when I had my first, you know, private piano lesson with my professor, then you realize it's going to require the amount of work and everything that he required.
Yes.
It was going to require that.
Right.
So then, I tell people that was, you know, one of the most fun memories for me was having the time. And because of our parents, I was able to just go to school. I didn't have to work or anything like that. And so I could just dedicate it to education. And so I had the time to devote to really spend a lot of hours practicing.
Right. And I know for a fact, but I don't know how, if your fans know this, that you still spend hours practicing and getting ready for each show, and even you just practice every day.
Yeah, I always feel like I would want to practice more because, I mean, now, of course, you know, I'm married. This summer it'll be 22 years. And mm-hmm. We have two kids. So, you know, your time is...
Right.
And you have to work. So
right.
Your time, you don't have that same kind of college hour time
right.
that you have.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, you have to... Practice is a lifetime thing for me. You would never stop practicing. But yes, it requires that to mm-hmm. be able to mm-hmm. keep your skill and your ability and to just grow and learn
right.
new things. Because
right.
like you said, God has created really all of us to create. I mm-hmm. think first thing in the Bible, in the beginning, God created.
He created.
He made us in his image mm-hmm. and he's made us to be able to create.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a never ending
right.
you know, process. So
right.
I never want to feel like I've learned it all. Oh, I got it. I'm as good as I need to be.
Right.
That's scary talk
right.
to me. So, yes, you're always wanting to get better and to be able to keep your skill up to par
mm-hmm.
and just keep pushing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. So tell us, how do you come up with all of the different things that you're going to do? Like, how do you decide this is what I'm going to do next? For example, like the clothing line. So you are known, let me tell everybody this who has not been to one of your shows. You are known for even the way you look, the ties and the sneakers. That's, you're known for that. So how do you come up with, okay, so now I'm going to start offering that to other people? How do you decide these creative things?
Well, I guess with the fashion, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I've always been a little different. So you can take
it's good.
That. I didn't ever care what other people
right,
thought about it.
Right.
But for me, I was comfortable in
right.
being different.
Right.
So, yes, the way that I dress. And then it got to be like, well, I got my own thing now with the way that I dress and everything. So with the ties, it first started out with, you know, I like bow ties and different things
mm-hmm.
and they had different shapes of bow ties. And then I would also look at old jazz videos. I collect jazz videos and stuff. So look back at like Duke Ellington's
right.
famous jazz pianist and
right.
the way they were dressed. And they were kind of, he was one that was really in the fashion.
Right.
But I started looking at the bow ties and tying them like a real tie instead of tying like a bow tie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
So then my wife, who is very, very creative,
mm-hmm.
I think probably more creative than me, but she's very handy in a lot of different areas. She kind of was looking at what I was doing and then started making ties just out of old shirts and material and
mm-hmm.
different things, patterns that we had that we kind of liked. And then when she started doing that, I was like, oh, man, this is sweet. I think we got something. So then
right.
we first started doing like a raffle or something at the concerts and giving them away.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, you know, kind of into it because
right.
there was no other place you could get the tie that I
right.
was wearing.
Right.
And then since she was only making one at a time, they were very unique. So whoever got the tie or bought the tie,
mm-hmm.
that was the only one
yeah.
that was made like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of grew into, we started thinking, you know, I think we have something.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're currently looking for someone to be able to, I mean, she already has the pattern and the design, everything
right.
to be able to actually, a seamstress
yes.
To sew it and
yeah.
to put them together. But yeah.
yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So it just happened kind of naturally.
Yeah, for us, because like I said, you know, Hope, she sews,
right.
she can sing, she can do music, she
right.
can engineer. I mean,
right.
just a lot of, she can paint,
right.
she can a lot of different
right.
things. So yeah, for us, it was just a natural thing because that's what we do and what she
mm-hmm.
does.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then when we start looking at it, it was like, this could be something.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question that's off topic because
okay.
you bring this up. And I think that this is one thing that musicians and creative people, we really, everybody, but I'm thinking about from our perspective about marriage and about deciding who the person is that you will marry.
Yeah.
With our brain structure and because
mm-hmm.
We are weird.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we spend a lot of time thinking in our brains while somebody's talking to us. And then, you know, we have to be with somebody that could say, hey, stop thinking. I'm talking to you. Come back, you know,
yeah.
to reality. How important is it? Because you just said that basically you and your wife, you all are the heart of Arlington Jones and the heart of Zamaria Music and the heart
mm-hmm.
of the way I hear it and everything else that you all create it comes really from you all brainstorming and living life together and seeing what hits. How important is it to really seek the Lord with the person, for the person that you're going to choose to marry and do life with?
Yeah, I think it's very important. And you hit it on the head. It's like when you were saying, if I'm thinking about something else, mm-hmm. I was thinking hope. My wife usually just like, you're not listening to me.
Right.
And that's usually true, I hate to say. And so I was like, well, just repeat it for me again. And then repeat it one more time. And this third time I'm listening.
I'm listening.
Right. But, it's very important that you feel that, you know, God has someone for everyone, mm-hmm. those of us that desire to be married. Mm-hmm. And so I think you really got to believe that and trust that. Mm-hmm. And that, so for me, I was, you know, I told mom and dad that I'm going to college and I believe my wife's going to be, I'm going to be my wife in college. Mm-hmm. Actually, that happened. And I kind of forgot. And of course, mom reminded me, reminds me a lot that did happen for me. But I was kind of, you know, looking, and I had things in my mind. It's like, well, I hope that she can sing and different things, mm-hmm. and kind of be in music. And hope is all of those things. Mm-hmm. But there was so much more, that, of course, in my immaturity at that time that I did not know, that things that God had given her that was going to really be a blessing for me. So mm-hmm. best thing I can say is that, you know, when we met and really prayed about, dated for some time, but when we decided that, you know, we felt like this is what God has for us in our lives. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the key, is like it should be something, shouldn't be something forced, or you got to make it. And sometimes people's like, I think this is God, but you're kind of forcing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it shouldn't be that way. Mm-hmm. It should be, I guess really, I was thinking of another word, but really easy, in that you should feel like, this is a God blessing.
Right.
When God blesses you, that's something that's easy. You don't really have to force it or jam it to make it fit. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I felt that way. It was just like, this is the person. I know that I can commit my entire life to this person without looking back. I can forsake all others. Mm-hmm. No question in my mind.
Right.
This is the one that God has for me. So when I just believe that, then 22 years in, I'm still seeing how there are a lot of things in her where I'm like, man, I didn't even realize that God, things that God has given her that bless me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I admit, sometimes I don't show it in the right way. I'm sure I make her upset most of the time. But, you know, that's just my faults or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, so we tell our kids that all the time, because our daughter's 21, mm-hmm. our son's about to be 15. It's like, you know, pray for your spouse right now, because it's very likely that they are out there dealing with whatever they're dealing mm-hmm. with. And so you want mm-hmm. them to be not having any wasted time in their lives, and that at the point that God will bring you two together, mm-hmm. that you will be able to hear his voice and be open to it and believe that God knows what you like.
Amen.
And so he'll bring what you like. Sometimes people are scared, well, what if I don't?
Right.
I mean, God is the creator of all good mm-hmm. things, so he mm-hmm. knows what you like.
Yeah.
Knows what you need.
So yes. Yeah.
It'll be a good thing.
Yeah. I know that we are about to have to take a break, but I wanted to touch on your children. So you have two children, my niece and nephew. I know the answer, but so are your children creative as well?
Yes, very creative. I think they've grown up in this life, so it's very normal to them when mm-hmm. others outside are like, man. But for them, that's what they grew up in.
Right.
So our daughter is in musical theater. She's got her degree in musical theater mm-hmm. and does shows. She just did a show, I guess, a few months ago, closed a show with Jubilee Theater in mm-hmm. Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. Our son has a lot of talents as well. He plays drums.
Okay.
So we'll stick with the music. They do a lot of other stuff too.
Yes, yes.
But yes,
fashion,
they're very,
and
very
well.
Creative.
Yes.
Yes, Christian dances and fashion and all of that. Both of them have a Facebook page where they do fashion. Ollie plays chess and
he's
doing well in that. Plays basketball. Mm-hmm. So they're very creative.
Yeah. Okay. So I know that it is time for us to take a break. And then when we get back from break, I want to ask you a little bit about the concert, about what people can expect, how they can get tickets for the concert and everything. And as well, I want to talk about the experience of the concert, because you and Hope, you all always have all of these, you know, great ideas and great things in mind. Okay. And so I know that when people come, they are going to get, you know, this unique experience that they can't get anywhere else. Okay. So we're going to talk about all of that when we get back. We'll be back in just a minute.
Listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. And we are having a great conversation with my big brother, Arlington Jones. Hey, Arlington.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I do want to tell everyone, because I've said this before, but since this is your first time on the show, I haven't said it on this on this episode, that Arlington also produces all of my music. And so the intro music, the outro music, you know, wrote and produced all of that. Hope, your wife Hope, mm-hmm. My sister-in-law, is actually the voice. She does the voiceovers on that. So this is actually giving you a look at all of our hard work, you know, put together in one show. So
right. And shout out to your recording too, because your actual record.
Yes.
I still call them records,
right.
You know, they're CDs,
yes.
or whatever.
True Worship. Yes.
But yeah, we were, yes. honored to be able to work with you,
yes.
on that. But
yeah.
I'm really, not for me, but I'm saying just a shout out for you, your record, True Worship.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Yes, all of our hard work, it truly has paid off, and the Lord has been good. The Lord has been good to all of us. And I wanted to also bring up that we touched on right before we had to go to break. We kind of had to hurry up to go to break, but your daughter, my niece, Christian Jones, mm-hmm. she... we touched a little bit on the things that she's doing, but she also has a kind of like a master dance class that,
yeah.
she does.
Yes, yes. Her company is called I Will Fly.
Yes.
And she offers, I guess, hip-hop dance class, mm-hmm. as well as other genres, because she does all genres, ballet and everything. Mm-hmm. So she teaches at Irving Ballet Company. Mm-hmm. RBR also is the name of the music school where they're housed in. But, she's planning, I think, on offering some of her I Will Fly classes this summer.
Okay,
so you can look out for that. But, yeah, you can find her on social media, Christian Joelle Jones.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. And then when we had Hope on the show, I can't remember if Hope's been on the show twice or just once, but we talked about her. It's an online magazine that she does. And
yes.
so she has a new article out.
Yes.
And it's about friends. And everyone can find her and... on her website, regalhearts.com.
Yeah, that's correct.
And so you all really are always doing things, and you know, people kind of have to keep up with what you all are doing to get all of it. So we're happy to highlight everything on the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show, and I know everything that your family does is such a blessing to all of the people that you all reach, and I know it takes a lot of hard work. So my hat is off to you all, and thank you all for following your calling and your passion. And so I want to talk about the concert series, mm-hmm. That you have coming up. First of all, tell us how people can get tickets.
Yes. Okay. Well, the tickets are available. The easiest thing, if you want to go to my website, arlingtonjones.com, mm-hmm. go to the tour page there, and then you'll see the link there. But it's on Eventbrite, where you can get the tickets.
Okay.
So you can go to arlingtonjones.eventbrite.com. That'll take you exactly to it.
Okay.
So either way. But basically, this concert is it's a pop-up concert. So
okay.
what we did was, really the way this came about is I'm usually traveling a lot during
right.
the summer.
Right.
But I'm home this summer, and we're working on a lot of business stuff. And, of course, wanted to keep playing, and I always want to be able to do more playing here in the area as well.
Right.
So we decided to do a pop-up concert, meaning that we didn't even release it. We hadn't been advertising for months in the time. It was just announced last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be at the Salmon Center for the Arts on the fourth floor in Kurth Hall, June 29th,
mm-hmm.
Saturday, June 29th at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very intimate room. So a lot of mm-hmm. things are different. It's a, not a huge, huge big room or bigger than some of the other concerts that I do,
mm-hmm.
but it'll be an intimate setting, which
mm-hmm.
I love.
Yeah.
And then even with what I'm going to be playing, most of the concerts that I usually do are all original music. I will do some original music, but I've also chosen some just favorites of mine of other artists, such
mm-hmm.
Stevie Wonder, Beatles. I'll do some arrangements, my own arrangements of some of those tunes that I think people will enjoy as well. And so the name of the concert is Bonsoir La Musique.
Okay.
I apologize for any French-speaking people. That's the most country
what
version.
Say?
Right. It's like he's not saying it right. But it basically just means good evening music.
Okay. Oh, nice.
And so, you know, our concerts are really, they're like you said, they're all family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
My whole purpose in life is really, I think about, like in the Bible with David. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible is when he was anointed king by Samuel,
mm-hmm.
and then he was chosen to play for Saul when
mm-hmm.
Saul was having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it says the Bible says God was allowing Saul to be distressed.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says that David would just take his harp. It doesn't say that he sang or anything,
mm-hmm.
so we don't
mm-hmm.
even know if it was just instrumental music or what, but
mm-hmm.
that he just played his harp. And it says that the Lord was with David and in him, and so
mm-hmm.
God's spirit worked through his music, and it would make Saul feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that I've studied that passage of scripture in 1 Samuel 16 quite a bit, and will continue to study it even more to find different things about it. But for me, that's my purpose all the time,
mm-hmm.
is I believe that God sends the people that need to hear what he's given me.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever need that needs to be met at that time, when they hear the music, that it'll be met.
Mm-hmm.
Even with all the CDs releases, is like whenever you put the CD in, whatever you need at that time, whether it be joy, whether it be peace, whether maybe even salvation, that God's spirit will speak to you and that you will receive exactly what you need. And so all of the concerts, every time I touch the piano, that's the whole goal.
Man.
With it. And so it's just full of joy and just, you know, allowing people to be able to come enjoy themselves
mm-hmm.
and to be able to, just have a good time.
Yeah. So that what you just said, that's so powerful and so meaningful to, I know, everyone that is listening. That's why I'm saying that your concerts, that this is the place that you need to be. Like if you're thinking, oh, I got something else on June 29th, you need to try to put it off to the 30th, or is there a 30th in June? I don't know.
Try to
put it off to the 30th, and get to this concert, and bring your children. Bring your children.
So it's limited seating, so you got to buy the tickets quick. So that was the idea. We just released it last week,
mm-hmm.
and it's like go out, get the tickets, and then once we reach capacity, that'll be it.
That's it.
So
we
want to make sure that people understand that they go out and get the tickets.
Okay.
But it's going to be, it's a great room,
mm-hmm.
it's beautiful. Of course, the Steinway piano. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's great. And here's one thing that I also want to bring out to everyone who's listening is that you have, and this is one of the things that I'm trying to learn from you. You have that kind of unique thing that in your brain, like when you do the concerts, you remember everyone that's there. You talk to people, you talk to everybody, and you remember like stuff. Like if they were at the last concert and they said something about their kid is just now thinking about the piano or something, and maybe they bought one of your books, you know, for their child. You remember that, and you're laughing because you're probably like, "Well, I do my best."
Yeah,
but no. I'm standing there when you are talking to everybody. So not only will everyone that's there experience, you know, some great music and, you know, experience your heart for God through the music. Even if you're thinking, well, I don't know if I like jazz. Don't worry about that. Just come and just be there because
right.
you
Very
were
accessible.
Yeah. You will experience the heart of God through your concerts. And then at the end, they will get to spend some time with you. Like, you'll talk to them and you'll get to know them and know some things about them. You and Hope both do the same thing. And so I always think, I don't know, I'm always trying to learn that and try to figure out how you do that, how you remember things, you know, specific things about people.
Yeah, I mean, I try. I don't remember
you
everything.
Do.
I just, but what I do try to do is to be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's, you know, I always think the other side is nobody could care.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could want to hear you play.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody,
mm-hmm.
you know, it could be the other way around when nobody shows up, nobody wants
right.
to hear, nobody cares. So
right.
for me, I always think, you know, anybody that comes up to me that wants to talk to me or has, you know, something encouraged to say about
mm-hmm.
the music that I play or whatever, I want to hear that. I always
mm-hmm.
have time for that.
Right.
Because, you know, for me, that's really what it's all about.
Right.
What I just said.
Right.
If I'm any other way, to me, then that's not genuine.
Right.
And so
right.
for me, it's beyond, you know, especially when you're traveling, whatever, if you're tired or, you know, none of that really matters.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing for me is that it could be the opposite, is that
nobody
cares
wants
to come up
right.
and say anything to you or cares about what the music you play or likes it or anything.
Right.
So
right.
when people do feel that way, always have time for that. And I so
mm-hmm.
hope and I feel the same way. It's like that to me. And so every single time somebody says something to me, I appreciate that. Because that, for me, is also just confirmation. It's like God speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, okay, keep doing what you're doing because I am working
right.
through you.
Right.
So I try my best not to overlook that part
right.
of it. That's
right.
a very important
right.
part to
right.
me.
So do you remember your first concert? And I mean, not first, like when we
uh-huh.
were taking private lessons, but
okay.
do you remember your first Arlington Jones concert?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what you mean because there's been so many phases of that. So I don't
mm-hmm.
know. You know, I started a band in college.
Right.
And we were playing concerts
right.
there.
Right. I remember your senior recital when you did... That was your senior recital, right?
Yeah, when I graduated
mm-hmm.
From Texas Tech
yes.
University.
So,
yes.
But I mean, after that, do you remember yours and Hope's first collaboration
oh, wow.
for an Arlington Jones concert?
Well, the thing that sticks out to me
mm-hmm.
was, I mean, I'm sure we had other things, but in 2011, we did a really big, I mean, we promoted our own concert.
Right.
It was even
mm-hmm.
before... we were still kind of getting our nonprofit together, so I don't even think we had that all the way together.
Mm-hmm.
But 2011, we did a big concert at the Eisman Center
right.
in Richardson
mm-hmm.
With my band. I had the guys that, you know, the exact guys that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It was, for me, yeah, the perfect thing. So that sticks out
mm-hmm.
because that was like a dream come true.
Right.
It was a lot of work.
Right.
And, you know, it was very difficult. But
mm-hmm.
For me, out of all the things, that was like, that's a highlight for me because it was something that we did. And, you know, we were on the big stage. And, of course, I've been on plenty of big stages.
Right.
But it was
right.
personal because, you know, we were behind it.
Right.
And,
right.
the guys that played with me, I think, shared some things, felt the same way. So it was a special time.
Right,
so for me,
right.
that was one of the big things. Even if it wasn't the first, if I'm forgetting some others, but that was a big one.
Hope probably was like, that wasn't the first.
Yeah.
Such else was the first. But yeah, that is wonderful. I want to ask you about your traveling. So, well, first I want to ask you this. What influences the music that you write? What influences or who influences the music that you write?
Yeah, I guess for me, it's just like, you know, naming the songs, because all of my music is not instrumental, but a lot of it is.
Right.
But naming the songs are very important to me because it's always got to mean something. Mm-hmm. So if you check out liner notes, I know that's hard in the digital world, but I mean, you go to my website and
right.
you see all the liner notes and right. everything if you don't actually have the physical product. But for me, that was important, is that everything's got to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes different inspiration, either through scripture sometimes when I'm writing a scripture, or something in the Bible will, you know, kind of lead me to name it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just something that's important to me that usually has some type of inspiration mm-hmm. behind it. And that I feel really has a strong substance meaning behind it. Then that's what, you know, most of the inspiration comes from.
Right, right. So within all of your traveling, because you do a lot of traveling and you also play with a lot of artists as well, within your traveling, what kind of sticks out to you about your traveling? Like what hits home with you? What keeps you wanting to travel? What is the inspiration behind even wanting to do other things besides being here and doing your own concerts?
Mm-hmm. I guess main thing, I mean, you can reach more people.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're present, because I mean, digitally, you can reach a lot of people too.
Right.
But there's nothing like that live performance and a live interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So in just traveling, I love to travel as far as just to see different things. And I'm thankful for the opportunities that I had to be the different parts of the world that I've been able to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You learn that God has created a huge universe.
Right.
And so we're here in Texas. That's just, Texas is big, and we like to, you know, kind of brag about how
yes,
big everything
yes,
is.
Yes.
But if when you take the whole scope of the whole world, we're a small part
mm-hmm,
of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to be able to see other cultures and to be able to experience other things that are different to me. But the thing I love about music is that no matter where we go, I mean, people call it the universal language, but
right.
it's like I don't have to know the language in the land that I'm traveling
right,
to.
Right.
But I can sit at the piano and play and be able to speak to them. And I know
mm-hmm.
ultimately it is God speaking through me. So
right.
I'm not trying to take a lot of credit for that. But the joy of being able to see that happen
mm-hmm.
and the reaction mm-hmm. Of the people wherever you go, that is, you know, a really big thing to
yeah.
me. It's very
yeah.
special.
Yeah, that's good. So the, and I know for at the Salmons, through the Salmons, you
mm-hmm.
do some concert series that are specifically for young people, for
yes,
for children.
Uh-huh.
And usually that's in the summer.
Yes, in the summer. We have a partnership with the Boys and Girls Clubs of
mm-hmm.
Greater Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the locations in Greater Dallas will bus the kids in.
Okay.
And we usually offer two concerts just for kids in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so very interactive and things like that. But I do that as well, even beyond the Salmons
mm-hmm.
As well. In fact, you mentioned Love Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on doing one for them this summer.
Okay, great.
So we're working on having the Steinway piano come to them.
Oh, nice.
I believe we're going to do it in South Dallas. I know
okay.
they have two locations
okay.
in West Dallas. But
yes.
In South Dallas, and we'll come and do that. So we're doing that through our, with the partnership with Love Ministries, through
okay.
our nonprofit,
okay.
the Music Stand.
Okay. Okay.
So children, yeah, I love to do that because I
yeah.
think that's part of, one, just live music and kids being able to see and hear live instruments, live music.
Right.
But even specifically with jazz, just the jazz education, I feel like no matter what the age, if there are more opportunities for people to be able to come, ask questions,
mm-hmm.
hear from the artist about what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
that you, I think, will learn that you may like a lot of it just by being able to get some of your questions answered.
Right, right. So for you, when you were, you know, when we were children, did you, I know our parents played a lot of different types
mm-hmm.
of music
mm-hmm.
for us. We most definitely grew up with a lot of music around the house. Was jazz played for you? Is that one of the triggers into this whole?
Yeah. To be honest, I don't remember.
Yeah.
our parents putting on the jazz records. But, you know, they had the jazz records there. Right. What I remember is mom going to the grocery store, putting on the Clark Sisters or something, like, learn this song and have it learned before I get back from the grocery store. So, but, I mean, I started going through the records and a lot of the jazz records. And so I've the one that I think I heard the first time, the first jazz record I heard that I pulled out was Ramsey Lewis. Of course, we were both born in Chicago, parents from the south side of Chicago. Well, dad's originally from Jersey.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, we lived in Chicago, south side. And so Ramsey Lewis is from Chicago, so they had Ramsey Lewis records. But one thing that stuck out to me was he did an arrangement of Wade in the Water.
Okay.
Which is a song we knew from church.
Yes.
And it just hit me. I was like, oh, my God. Whatever this is, like the harmony, the rhythm, it just resonated in me. And so I think that's what started me with, like, trying to figure out what is jazz and stuff. So then my parents, even with the music lessons, like you mentioned, the music store Brooke Mays, that they asked the teacher to get some jazz books and different things. So everything was kind of written out, but the harmony was kind of more jazz influenced. And so I just, that kind of started me with jazz. So then I just started going through those records. Of course, started going through earlier people, because Ramsey Lewis is still alive, but earlier jazz people. But I think it was just, hearing that first thing and probably making the connection of it was a song that I knew from church but played in a different way.
Yes.
That just hit me. I was like, whatever this is where I am.
Right.
This is where I'm
gonna
live.
Right. Yeah. That's cool. So let's talk about the music stand. I know you've got so much that I'm trying to make sure that we get into everything.
Okay.
But the music stand, I know that you and hope that you all are very passionate about other musicians that are coming up and trying to help them in their path, because this is not always easy, and it is a business. It also is a ministry, but it's also a business. So there are things that you really need to know. And so you all have come to speak to my class, the Visible Music College, and you all have done a little bit of, you know, your teaching that you do for the music stand. But really quickly, what is the music stand, and what is your purpose in doing it?
Yeah, the music stand promotes innovative artistic expression that are with biblical truths. But we also have an arm of help, personal development for professional musicians and creative music education as well. And so, yes, what you're referencing with the our heart is for professional musicians. There are a lot of things that professional musicians that are challenging.
Right.
And you mentioned being in the arts sometimes can be challenging. There are a lot of different things that, and we can talk about any of that you want to, but that sometimes it's a little different in other professions.
Right.
So the challenges can be a little different. And so since we've lived this all of our lives up to this point, our heart is really to help in that area.
That is wonderful. So I want to make sure that everyone knows that they can go to arlingtonjones.com, get tickets for the pop-up concert. And it is going to be an intimate concert. It is a family oriented concert, but get your tickets soon so that you make sure that you get them. It's also available on Eventbrite. What I did was I just went to Eventbrite and searched for Arlington Jones and it popped right up. So get your tickets. The concert is on June 29th at 7:30. It's at the Salmon Center for the Arts.
Yeah, in Dallas.
And in Dallas. And so everyone rushed to do that. And Arlington, we are so thankful for you being here today. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm honored.
Yeah. And so we look forward to the next time you'll be able to stop by. Everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org for all of the information about Love Ministries. You can keep up with us on our social media at EHEW Radio. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. Have a great week.